Is sleep training for everyone? In a word, no, it's not for everyone, but that's your decision and that's a choice that you have to make. It can be tailored to everybody's needs, and what we do is look at every situation as a unique one and customize a plan of action to suit that situation. And that will include the family dynamic, the parents' wishes, the child's personality, the challenge at hand, all kinds of things will come into play when working out what the right or most appropriate approach is to a situation. And I don't believe there is anybody who has an unsolvable situation. However, if what makes somebody unhelpable and what makes them a parent particularly, because that's who we help ultimately, is the parents, what makes a parent unhelpable is an unwillingness, really, an unwillingness to commit, an unwillingness to implement a plan, an unwillingness to trust and believe in what you're being taught and also what you're prepared to do, your ability perhaps as a parent to be able to deliver that plan. These are all the things that could mean sleep training is not for everybody. And what we do at Sleep Nanny is always very gentle. We advocate always being responsive. We don't ignore children. We'll respond appropriately depending on what the situation is with that child. We don't allow any fear or distress for children. So we cover all those bases, but at the end of the day, we can go as gentle and as responsive as humanly possible, but we're still working on a plan with a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's an end goal. There's a process. There's a process that we want to help families see through. And it's a bit like saying, I want to lose 5 pounds in weight, but I just want to sit and watch TV and it come off. It just doesn't work, does it? You have to follow a process. You have to eat healthily and exercise. So in the same way, if a parent seeks help and we look at that process and we set up that process especially for them, we can make sure if they're a parent, for instance, some parents have such a little tolerance for crying, and by their own admission, I've known parents who have said they can't stand any crying, even when they know full well that the baby is not in any way afraid or distressed, even when they know it's just a whinge, it's just a, I'm hungry, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, some parents have a real intolerance for any crying. And naturally, especially as mothers, we are literally wired by nature to respond to the cries of our young. We are wired to go, fix it, baby crying, make it stop. it's a knee-jerk reaction. And what we do is not tell you not to do that. We wouldn't say don't respond. We wouldn't say ignore a baby's cries. But what we will do is we'll respond appropriately. We'll assess what that looks like before. There's no blanket rule here for everybody. But we'll assess what that appropriate response is. And that response, it's a response for a start, so you're not ignoring it. Secondly, it's going to be something that is conducive to helping your child learn to sleep better. And if the parent has a real intolerance for crying, that will be taken into account with the plan. But all the while, we're gonna make sure that child is responded to appropriately. And if some parents, you know, they want things as gentle and minimize crying as much as possible, absolutely, if that's you, and I come across plenty of parents like that, I know we have consultants that are like that. But if that's you and that's how you feel, that's fine. We will make it as gentle as humanly possible. But I think what's really important to remember is there's only so gentle you can go. And actually, I used to say the only thing gentler is not doing anything. But that, I don't even think that's true, because if you take the most gentle possible approach you can have, the most responsive, attentive approach possible, which usually is something the parent wants more than what the actual child wants, more than what that baby really needs. It really usually is more for the parent than it is for the child. But still, even if you took the most gentle possible plan and, you know, the only alternative is do nothing about the situation. So in other words, perhaps a parent would feel like if they rock their baby to sleep, that's the problem. So what we will do is we'll take the most gentle approach to move them on from that and into the next place that's going to help the child sleep better. So the only thing gentler than our plan would then be going back to rocking that baby to sleep. But actually, I think the counter argument there is that really more gentle? Is it really? Because actually, what that's doing is it's further ingraining an unsustainable habit, an unsustainable trigger that's required or a crutch that's needed by that baby to get to sleep. So actually, it's doing the baby a disservice. Actually, at some point down the line, moving on from that is going to be harder for the child. And the gentlest way possible that we were looking at right now perhaps then won't be possible because the child's developmental stages, needs, everything else would have changed. So that's where I sometimes say, well, is it more gentle? Is it really? Or actually, is implementing a very, very highly responsive plan better than just carrying on with what you're doing and, you know, effectively, I suppose, what some might refer to as giving in or just doing what that baby is asking for. The truth is, people think, oh, my baby is asking to be rocked to sleep and I put my baby down, they cry, but if I rock them, they're fine. So your theory is, okay, the baby wants to be rocked to sleep, I'll give my baby whatever they want. It's not actually what the baby's saying. The baby's saying, I want to go to sleep and I don't know how. You need to show me how. And you go, okay, well, I don't know how to show you how, so I'll rock you. But actually, they want to know how. They want to be able to get to sleep and back to sleep whenever they want to. Of course you want to, because you do, and we've learned those things now. But you can help your baby along a lot quicker, your toddler, young child, so that they can get that rest they need. It impacts their lives so, so much, developmentally, cognitively, emotionally, behaviorally, with their friends, with their everything they're doing. It seriously is the key. So many other problems that you have, you know, with kids, with behavior, with social things, all kinds of things actually would go away if that child was getting good sleep. So you're doing them the best service you can do. You're giving your absolute best to your child by helping them become a good sleeper.